Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you once again with bowed heads and humble hearts, thanking for your grace and your mercy. Realizing, Father, that you've been better to us than we've been to ourselves, and with that we say thank you. Thank you, Father, for being that bridge over our troubled waters, for being the peacemaker when we need peace the most, for being that doctor in our sick room, for being the ultimate judge in our courtroom, for being a provider in our homes, our communities, and to this world abroad. And finally, Father, we say, bless this meeting and continue to give guidance to our chairperson, all the participants here today, realizing that we're no strangers to each other, just friends who have not yet met. We give you all the praises and the glory. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I need a motion to approve our agenda for today.
So moved.
Moved by Mayor Brandt, second by Mayor Marino. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Any comments, changes to the minutes of our May 17th meeting? None, I need a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. We don't have any representatives from the board here today, but we did want to thank them for hosting us as well as having out in this beautiful facility. Also, just a reminder, there is a tour of the board schedule, depending on how quickly we dispose of the agendas. So those of you who want to get closer to the board, where will that happen? Where will we assemble downstairs, I guess, is us.
Sure. Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. We are actually going to send right here in this room to do a brief presentation of the report following the adjournment of this meeting. So we'll use the audiovisual facility for anyone who wants to send a brief overview of the report and then load up into a shuttle vehicle if anyone who wants to participate and then do the on-site tour. Again, we hope to do that immediate following the board meeting and could be concluded by noon.
Okay, thank you. On any member wish to comment on any item before we start the agenda? No? Okay. And your executive director's report, please.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to mention for the board's awareness that today is National Dump the Pump Day. Today, June 21st, is our 13th annual National Dump the Pump Day. So we're asking both public and private entities to consider the many benefits of using public transportation today to drive transit and try to get to work or to your place of business or recreation today without using personal vehicles. Also want to give you a brief TPA staff update. We are excited to welcome Mr. Greg Gabriel to the TPA as a transportation planner with us. He joins us from the county's youth services department. We're really excited to have him on board and look forward to his contributions to this agency. I want to give a credit to Palm Beach County. One of the things that I try to do is highlight activities by our local members that advance transportation initiatives and innovation. And Palm Beach County recently updated their what they call typical sections for how they want to build county roadways. They made modifications to those typical sections to require inclusion of wider sidewalks and buffer or designated bike lanes on all. They also noted in the press release that they received a letter from Northern Palm Beach County Improvement District automatically terminating a required drainage permit for their project. And they noted that they are aware of an agreement between the City of West Palm and Northern Improvement District requiring the cancellation of that permit. That being said, the press release also affirmed their commitment to this important priority project for the CCA Board. Just wanted to make sure that we acknowledge that and that is a process that's moving forward, and we'll keep your advice of any changes in the status of that San Jose 7 extension project. And then last on my report is a couple of bridge replacement project meetings. Just highlighting awareness that the county did request TPA funds through the local initiative program to replace two bridges on county roadways. The DOT is designing and constructing those bridge replacement projects on behalf of Palm Beach County. That's an option available to all of our local governments. If you want to submit through our local initiatives program to take those applications, you can either ask for funding so that your agency can construct those projects through what we call a LAP agreement, or you can ask for the DOT to construct infrastructure projects on your behalf. That's what the county did in these two locations, and the DOT is actually doing project design public workshops, and I provided the location, dates, and times in the report. So, and Mr. Chair, I just have one other item I was hoping to add. It's not on my written report, but I do want to mention that this really kind of dovetails with the correspondence item 3D1. We, last month, had a good deal of discussion about the county's road impact fee system and the potential of transition that system over to a mobility fee system that would be a little more multimodal in its approach to the types of projects that could be built and the fees that developers would be asked to pay. And Mr. Chair, I just wanted to let the full board know that I have had two meetings with county administration, specifically with the assistant county administrator, Tom Almayer, whereby I requested what I thought this board had asked me to obtain, and then shared that request with Mr. Baumeyer from county administration, who responded by saying he thinks that I'm asking for more than this board has asked me to obtain. So I guess I'd like to raise this point just and see a little bit of informal clarification from the board. I thought I was directed to ask for where road fees are being paid and where road impact fee projects are being built. So which developments are paying the fees and where the county will be investing those fee payments in road capacity projects in order to build a map for each of the five zones that shows where development fees are being paid and where road projects are being constructed. That's what I asked for, but the response I got from county administration is that I'm asking for more than this board is looking for. So I'm looking for a little bit of clarification to either say yes, I'm on the right track, or no, I'm overstepping and need to back up a little bit.
Two things. I did talk to Mr. Barnheimer yesterday. He is going to be here. We had a meeting that started at 8 that is obviously delaying his arrival. So with the board's consent, I think it would be appropriate to wait until he arrives. Is that okay with everyone?
That's fine.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it. That concludes my report. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. We do have two alternates with us today. Would you introduce yourself since it's the first time we've been here?
Yes, sir. My name is Doug Gunther. I've been appointed as council member for the Village of Palm Springs. This is actually my fifth term. I've managed to seek election 4 terms in a row that lost in my last election, and then the seat was vacated. So the community felt that I did a good job prior to being decided to appoint me. I'm a 45-year resident of Palm Beach County, and currently employed by the Lake Worth Drainage District for 27 years. I serve as their field representative, basically for Delray and Boca Raton.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yes, I am Andrew Lamino Mark. I am a Boca Raton City Council member, and I'm going to Jeremy Rogers today. I am also the CRA chair on the Citizen City Council for our Community Redevelopment Agency. I've lived in Boca Raton since 1979. I'm serving in my second year of a 3-year term on City Council right now.
Okay, thank you and welcome. On to the consent agenda. Would any member like to pull any item from the consent agenda? Seeing none, do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Second.
Moved by Mayor Marino. Seconded by Councilmember Ryan. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Any member of the general public like to address us on a non-agenda item? And if you are going to speak on an agenda item, we do have cards.
Yes.
Anybody care to address us? Okay. we move on to our action items. First is, I think last time we elected a permanent representative, and Commissioner Gaines. Do we want to do that? Why don't we back, hey, Tom? The record reflects that Commissioner Adams has joined us. All right, well, while he's getting coffee, we'll go on to, we do have a permanent representative to the Southeast Florida Transportation Council, that's Commissioner James. We do need an alternate. Any nominations for all?
I nominate Maria Marina.
All right, any further nominations? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, Mayor Marina, another responsibility. Okay, and then we did appoint Commissioner McKinley as our permanent delegate to the MPOAC Governing Board. We need an alternate for that. Any nominations?
Can we get the people who have been to the MPO training so that we know who's done it? Is that required?
Not required.
Yeah, it's suggested, but not required.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. The designation of an MPOAC representative or alternate is not required to have attended the MPOAC training.
Okay.
Okay, I nominate Steve
Green.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Okay, nomination by Mayor Marino, and second by Commissioner Reinhart. Any other nominations? All in favor of Mayor Marino?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you. Okay. Mr. Bumler, we thank you for arriving, Mr. Rose, as well. We were just about to take up a sign, but we decided to wait until you got it. Nick, did you want to briefly recap what you said before they got there, and then we can continue the discussion?
Yeah, so briefly, just for the benefit of the county staff that arrived, I had mentioned to the governing board that following up on the May Chief Diddy Board discussion, I had requested two pieces of information from the county. One was the developments that have contributed to the road impact fee balance that the county currently has in its impact fee accounts, so that they can understand where road impact fees are being paid. And the second was the list of road capacity projects that will be built using that road impact fee revenue, so they can understand where those fees are going to be invested in transportation infrastructure projects. And I mentioned to them that in our discussions that you had suggested to me that maybe I was asking for more than the TPA Governing Board had requested and needed to modify the request for information. So I'd asked the board to clarify for me whether I was on the right track or whether I was stepping farther than they had asked me to go.
Okay, before we hear from the county, any board member wish to affirm or disagree with what Mr. Aaron said?
Does this mean to be like by district, or are we looking for like how many feet from the money was given to how it was spent? I mean, exactly how much data are we drilling down into?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. What I'm asking for is where the developments are that have paid road impact fees. So road impact fees are paid at the time of issuance of a building permit in Long Beach County. So I'm asking for where those permits were issued and how much they paid in road fees. I would map that information by showing relative magnitude, color-wise, how much fees have been paid in a particular geographic area.
Okay, so you're just asking for the data, where it came in and where it was spent, and
yes,
we'll do the comparison.
And I will create the maps, and you will draw your own conclusions as to whether the distance between where the fees are paid and where the projects are occurring is appropriate or not. Or give me direction to do some sort of more thorough evaluation of whether that rational nexus is being satisfied.
Mr. Chairman, Nick, what's involved in this analysis in terms of resources and logistics? And, you know, how extensive is this kind of an analysis? Does a consultant need to be brought on? You know, it's going to be done in-house. let's see, right.
So as far as compilation of the payment of road impact fees goes, that will vary by jurisdiction based on whether the county is the collecting entity or whether cities are collecting road impact fees and the system that they're using to document who paid how much and where. As far as I understand, within the county's data structure, it is a relatively easy report to generate from the data tables that they currently maintain on a daily basis.
All right, we'll both confirm that.
So yeah, they may have a difference of opinion on that point, but I think it's this simple database query to generate the report that has been requested.
That's all that's required then? And municipalities likewise?
Again, depending on their data system, I'm very familiar with the county's data system. I've worked within it for, a decade. So I have previously spent quite a bit of time helping develop that system and understand the nuances of it. I don't know as well as municipal systems, but I'd be happy to work with any of our municipalities to make the request for information.
Okay, but that's gathering data. Then what about the analysis?
Frankly, creating a map is a half-day exercise.
Okay,
it's 4 hours of staff time on my side to put it on paper and make it look great and understandable.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
Yeah.
Mayor Pinto?
Yes, well, we affirm the request. And yeah, someone said, yeah, absolutely. I'll put the mission to you that to be collected.
Okay, Commissioner Ryan.
Thank you. I just wanted to confirm that every permit that is issued must pay an impact fee. So pulling the city permits over a period of time, they're able to obtain that trigger point.
So my information is that yes, the cities do collect the county impact fees, however, we do not know how it is spent. And so that is kind of where the TPA is moving forward. So knowing how much money is collected from each city and which district that city is in to see where it is spent in that district, because if I'm not mistaken, that the districts go from the ocean to all the way west in the county. Is that correct?
In your part of the county, yes.
Okay.
Never makes the ocean and then an ordinance of the county, but not in every all of the five zones. Okay. And then part of our desire would be to create that map series of the five existing road impact fee zones so that everyone on this board will have a clear understanding of what the boundaries are, where the fees within that boundary are being generated, and where the projects that are being built with those fees are located within that zone.
Because I know that I had a couple projects that the permit wasn't issued because they didn't realize that the impact fees was twice as much as the building permit fees. So I think it's important to know what exactly the county's doing with the money that they're collecting.
Okay. Councilmember Brassley?
Yeah, I just want to indicate that at the last meeting, I had reflected upon the fact that former county engineer George Webb had made a presentation to us that was quite thorough, and my comment, I didn't get a chance yet, but wanted to go back and look at that. It has a lot of the kinds of information we were looking for, so we have the historical perspective of how impact fees have been collected. I think it's important to not lose sight of that historical as well as look at it. So that was part of it.
Any further comments? Okay, determined from his comments that I've heard that Mr. Uren was acting within the direction that the board gave him. Yeah. So I think it's appropriate for Mr. Hillmeyer and Mr. Ricks to.
Mr. Chair.
Sure. Oh, sorry. Commissioner Bird.
Thank you. I do love the design, and we over here will. Questions encompass the intent of how the impact fee zones were created. And the historical, that basis for it, and then the historical allocations of those dollars that were spent. And I would hope that part of it would also would look at those particular reasons why we had larger zones and those historical spending dollars, because I had a sense that we did that for our cities. That's where we spent those dollars. And now that our cities are looking for other alternatives of transportation, and I support the concept, the county still has significant unmet road capacity. And I, one area is out in the Loxahatchee Acreage. And perhaps the city, you know, the cities aren't aware of it, but we struggled with Minto. And George Weld told us we had $100 million. Not that we want to have asphalt roads, we're not happy with it, but there are significant unmet needs. So I would hope that this conversation, and besides looking at this data, is the justification of why those zones were and where those dollars over the years have been allocated.
Thank you. Yeah, I think the discussion today should be just about this request. I don't see on the agenda, I don't know if we need to discuss whether the county will adopt a mobility fee at some point. Let's just talk about the request, at least for now.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the TPA. First, I just wanted to say thank you again to the staff for coming to the county and spending some time with us since your last meeting to have some conversations and discussions about this particular request and the specifics of it. I can tell you that while this is one of the requests that was made of us, some of the follow-up requested is a much deeper dive requiring deeper resources and, you know, additional information and work looking into our databases and so forth. And so there's other requests that have come from the TPA to us besides number one and two that we have, in addition to information, you know, requests from municipalities and how those dollars were created. I think there were a lot of very good points, and I thank you for some of the clarification that some of you gave today. But Commissioner Burdick's comments too resonate very loud with us as well. As we've had some conversations with county staff since your last meeting here about our, number one, our impact fee zones, how they were created, when they were created, why they are the way they were, historically a look back in terms of what they were before and how we got to these smaller, these larger five zones. I mean, obviously there was a lot of consultant work that went into that to make those determinations. And one of the reasons why we went from smaller to larger zones is because of collection of dollars within the zones. It's hard in small zones to collect the necessary resources to do the projects within those regions that meet those needs. And quite frankly, you know, what happens in the people who live in downtown Boynton Beach don't just walk and drive around downtown Boynton Beach. They go all over the county and they utilize infrastructure resources throughout the county. And historically, when you look back at where we are today, I mean, a lot of our older municipalities are ones that, you know, may have benefited, you know, over the last decades from capacity projects, from impact fees. Some of them might not have as many of those capacity projects in the core areas, particularly where they're looking to redevelop. And so, you know, but we've got to look at the county, you know, from a global perspective, from Tequesta to Boca and Palm Beach to Bellevue. And we have some significant coverage that we need to engage with. So I think the conversation from an historical perspective and the references from George Webb and his report are very on point, because I think in the broader conversation, it's more than just a snapshot of what we're looking here about what's happening today, what happened yesterday, and what we're looking at in the next couple of years. We're happy to work with the TPA to provide some of this information, but, you know, a lot of the feedback that I felt we got from members were that we wanted to work collegially with the county. We weren't looking to usurp dollars that, you know, were in the impact fee collection system, and we're looking at ways of enhancing it. And so, you know, when we still have unmet needs, as Mr. Ricks will indicate and follow up with, it's very hard when, you know, those impact fees are not meeting all of the infrastructure needs that we have throughout Palm Beach County today, and even in those particular zones. So, you know, you could pull up zones and map and show that just about every capacity project in there has been funded in some sort of way with impact fees over history, and it's just going to tell you that those impact fees have been going to work with those districts to fund those projects. Sometimes in the smaller snapshots of time, just say what's going on today or tomorrow and don't take the broader brush of the historical references to infrastructure that we need to look at and be very careful about when we talk about how we use impact fees, where they're going, and how we might want to tweak and change those uses in the future. And I'll ask Mr. Ricks if he's got some additional information he wants to add.
You know, I think Todd related out in terms of what the conversation should evolve to, but I think the key part of it was looking at the county as a whole in terms of our transportation network. Because if you look at evolved in terms of growth patterns, we're still on that moving target, growing more bigger. And so, providing a lot of context, I think we can do that and have a lot of conversation.
I'd also just end with one thing. I think Commissioner Abrams brought the issue of, you know, what's involved in some of these exercises. I mean, it's not really as easy as, you know, sitting down and looking at some of this information, staff in a day, you know, regurgitating the information in a format that makes sense. I mean, we've spent dollars on consultants. We have an impact fee update that the county is currently going through right now that will be out later in the year, which we have consultants that are sitting down and reviewing that. So we're happy to share that with you later on when that is available. But, I mean, there are some significant resources that are involved in this conversation, and it's not a very simple one. It's much more complex. But I do understand and appreciate the need for transparency from some of our officials and wanting to know, you know, how these dollars are collected, where they're going, and we can point those out in these zones where they're going. But, you know, really drilling down into, as Commissioner Ryan referenced, you know, by parcel and how each parcel and each permit, those are collected. I mean, that's a much more complicated weave sometimes in trying to extrapolate some of that data. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Nick, Councilmember Perazzi mentioned George Webb having gotten some work on this for us. Is that, can you refresh my memory on what he did?
Sure. I want to say it was almost 2 years ago now, George Webb came and did a presentation of approximate impact fees collected within all 39 of our municipalities, as well as road capacity projects constructed within those 39 municipalities from a time period of 2003, when the county's impact fee accounting system was converted to the system in use today, to that then the present day, 2015, at the conclusion of this year. I actually sent out a link to all of the board members following our last board meeting of the presentation slides, so that you can go back and review that content if you want to see how much was collected and how much was expended within each of our
areas. And would that format meet our requirements?
So,
and the reason I'm asking is perhaps we could just update that, you know, without creating an entire new report.
We are diving into a little bit of the nuances of the road impact fee system. The presentation that George did, it allocated impact fee projects to municipalities if they were traversed or touching in any way. And it counted impact fee investments in multiple municipalities for the same project if they were all affected by it. So those dollars were counted not once, but twice, and sometimes three times. So it wasn't a precise accounting of fees collected within the zone structure that the county must abide by, and projects expended within the zone structure that the county has chosen to operate within. That being said, I don't think it tells the story with the level of clarity needed for this board to have an informed discussion about whether the zones are the right size and whether the projects are the right projects.
Okay, I think, again, you know, I understand, I don't think we want to spend weeks doing this. Nick suggested that maybe it's a day or a half day's work. Is there some way you can discuss this further and come up with something that doesn't require, as I said, several weeks worth of work. Maybe it's longer than a day, but it would meet the request of this board.
We did spend some time with the staff, you know, as soon as possible following this meeting and kind of sit down.
Yeah, and maybe there was just a misunderstanding about the level of details.
Mr. Chair?
Commissioner Martin?
Thank you. There might be a way to get to disseminate some information. If I recall correctly, Nick, the clerk always has somebody taking minutes of our meetings, our TPA meetings, and the clerk would have a record of George's presentation. It may not be the entire presentation, but it might help us to go to the clerk's office and dig out that information from that meeting. It might be helpful to share that with everybody.
So, Mr. Chair, we haven't actually used the clerk to record minutes for the TPA report for some time, but we do retain audio recordings of all of your meetings so that we have that verbatim record of what was said and by whom. And that is actually posted to our TPA governing board website, so you can not only go back to that meeting date and see the presentation in its entirety as a series of slides that you can also listen to the audio recording of that meeting.
That's great, and that might be helpful to our newer members who are not here with us. So.
Thank you, Commissioner Burke. So, let's leave it at you and TPA staff, meaning you, Mr. Warner, Mr. Rose, and TPA staff will meet and try to work out a compromise that doesn't require a tremendous amount of time on the part of the county staff, but does meet what we believe the board asked for.
I disagree with that in the sense that this is public information and the county is a public entity and, you know, we have the right for all this public information, if I'm not mistaken. The question is the county clear about these two items?
No, we're clear about those two items.
And, you know, the question is that would this use absorb amount of county time that they want to charge the TPA for, you know, to calculate all this amount of time? That's kind of where, you know, I'm looking at. I know that we're going to, you know, the chair asked to discuss this with you to get which data inputs that we can use to create the map that the TPA is requesting. And so I'm fine with whatever is needed from the TPA to create that map of where the money, $380 million is, you know, needed for the future. Because you gave us these numbers, and now we're saying, okay, we have the numbers. What's going to happen with these numbers? Because we're asking for the future of what's going on in the county. And so if we don't know what's going on in the future, it's hard for us to discuss how to plan for it.
Commissioner Ryan?
Thank you. And thank you, Todd, for coming. I know this is a difficult conversation. One, I don't know if you know the answer to it, but when these zones were originally worked out, do you know what year that was? 1989. Does that sound familiar?
I don't know the exact date. I believe the current zone structure was established in 2003.
2003. So the it's clear just by all the growth and development that has happened that that's a separate conversation. And I think that the intent of asking for this information was to begin to have those more difficult conversations. So I want to mention that as a member of the county's impact fee review committee, I've spent a year and a half going through the data by the consultants to determine functional equivalents to miles traveled, you know, removing the turnpike, removing 95, looking at that work has in fact been done, and I know that there is a recommendation that is coming forward to the county and from that committee in August or September that you will take it up. But I think that a presentation by that board, somebody from that board might be, you know, in helpful in helping the rest of us understand how those dollars are attributed to which building types and why. And because I hear what the county says, that just because you live or work in West Palm Beach, it doesn't mean you're not traveling on the county roads. And we know that there's a shortfall. So the question is who's, you know, how are we going to cover that shortfall and how are we going to find the dollars that we need internally to the cities to expand our transit, expand our trolleys, expand our walking and biking and other alternatives. So I don't want the county to feel like we're pushing you guys to, you know, the city particularly because of our mobility plan, to make a decision, but we need to have the conversation first place to start with the data.
Councilor Bryson.
Yeah, I just want to go back to the historical effort. I appreciate Art and Amber do some of the critique that I heard from, you know, our director. I'm talking about the board representing. But I said, and I say this as a professional engineer, that we can never get engineers to satisfy all of us with advocating on a board of a project goes here to the gardens, here to Jupiter, here to whatever. So it's nice to know that. Okay, now we know there's a shortcoming of that evaluation. I said that was a pretty good evaluation of information that maybe we could use and would encourage everyone to look at that. I'm not suggesting we also want to look at a further look at it. I'm not suggesting we also want some clarification on information, but this is a no-win we can never get to if you're looking for perfect information. I said, for example, let's talk about Mayor Moreno and I. She represents the gardens, I represent Jupiter. They built the regional hall that Jupiter residents go to quite a bit. We built a lot of homes that might go to the regional hall. Now we're going to get into debate about is it the attractor or the generator that generates the trips? That's why I just want to kind of temper expectations here. It's an impossibility for us to be engineers to give a pure, okay, this railroad impacts this bordering community 32% and this one 60. I'm just, you know, seems like we're getting in the right direction. You have some clarification or additional information we're looking for, and it doesn't have to be iterative, but I'm hoping that we all realize that what we're hoping at UE1 isn't available. So we can just get the best we can get and work with it.
Okay. Mayor Gower?
Thank you. I'm back to my question. If we're asking the staff to produce pinpoints, and then we're going to analyze the data, then it's not on them to do more than give us the sites and the amount. I mean, if we're going to be the ones producing the maps and we're going to be the ones dealing with that nexus that we're looking for, we need to have a time frame that we're looking at. Are we looking at the past 2 years that impact these in spending? Are we looking at 20? But really, I don't think we're asking the county to produce the maps. We're asking them for the pinpoints, where the money came from and where it got spent, and we'll produce the maps and do that analysis. Am I clarifying this very well, or is that what we're all agreeing on?
Right.
From your perspective, Nick? That's
what I'm asking.
Mayor McKinley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's nice to see you in your role. I just, I'm not a tech whiz, but I just Googled Palm Beach County Road Impact Fee Expenditures and the reports were right up. So they're available on our website. The most recent one is 2016. I would imagine because of the way you collect revenues that we always follow, you're so behind in reporting. But Mayor Grant, in terms of your zone, I assume you're zone 4. And so Congress for Lantana and Malalupo was 15,409. Battle Hill Road, south of the Lake Worth Drainage District, 14 announcement. Worth was 344,000 and change. Lawrence Road, 300 feet to 200 feet north of the L-17 canal. Congress Lake, Lesser Lantana. Lantana Road at Edgecliff Avenue, the west right turn. Gateway Boulevard at Military Trail intersection. Lantana Road at Lawrence Road intersection. Lyons Road, Lantana Road to Lake Worth Road. Calico Road, Lantana Road to the 14 Canal, Gateway Boulevard and High Ridge Road intersection for a grand total of $2,535,419. And all of these are by zones. This report includes not only the expenditure, but the collection of revenues in each of those zones. So I'm curious what the problem is and why I can just Google this in 5 minutes, that this people are saying that this information is not available.
The 308 million, is that the number she's mentioned?
This is by zone, and the reports, I can go through and read all of them for all the last 10 years of the reports are online, but it might take some time. But
yeah, the point is that we want it on the map, so you can see
Chief, I'm not trying to be antagonistic here, but maybe I am. This information is available. Bring it to your staff. Give it to Nick. Nick, you can put this information on a map. I take offense that anybody would assume the county is trying to hide something when this is public record. It's right here, 9:48 a.m. I just Googled it on our website. And so, Todd, I'm wondering if you can give me a little bit of history. I believe we started out before we went down to the current flag zone process, of how many zones we had before that and what conversation led us to reduce those zones.
Yeah, I think we probably had about 40 plus zones that existed. And, I'm sorry, I think we had about 40 plus zones that existed. And what I think you find in impacting zones is when you start collecting dollars within zones, the smaller they are, the more compact they are, particularly when you have, you know, if you have a very, very dense area, that might be one thing, but when you've got an area that's not as dense in Palm Beach County, it's harder to collect those fees for the projects the smaller the zone that you get. And we also find that, you know, people don't live in, you know, a small area. They've got a lot of elbow room that they travel to. And so people who live in Wellington don't just live in Wellington. They travel to downtown West Palm to work. They travel to Delray to work. They go to the Glades to work. Likewise, you know, those who live in Jupiter and Palm Beach Gardens, you know, they traverse the county as well, whether it's to go out to dinner or whether it's to go to work or to go for activities for their kids. So we are constantly, as Mr. Preston said, trying to find that sweet spot and that balance between, you know, where those impacts were, what's generating that traffic, what's moving that traffic. And it's very difficult to do that. So the consultants that came in developed these five zones. They were a little larger. They felt that they meant those impacts where we could do meaningful projects, and that there was a nexus between the properties that were involved in those zones. One other thing that I'd point out too, just in terms of point number two and the $380 million, a point of clarification, and we made this clarification to Nick in our meeting that we had with them. The five-year $380 million was not what was intended in terms of where that number is. That $380 million is a horizon that goes out beyond that 5 year. So I just wanted to make that clarification, and we shared that with Nick during our first meeting that we had with him. So there's a broader spectrum of projects within that $380 million span longer than that. I just wanted to make that clarification on item number two.
And Todd, another question too, and sometimes each of the zones maintains a balance in their impact fee account, because you're trying to save up enough money to be able to complete some of the projects. So even though we might show that some revenues have been collected but not expended, that's because we don't have money yet in that account to be able to do that.
And Mr. Chairman, yes, and there are specific time limitations that are put on the expenditure and the encumbrance of those funds. And if we don't expend those dollars within the allotted period of time, then we have a situation where we have to return them. Likewise, if we have a zone where we feel like we've met the needs of capacity, then we stop collecting those impact fees. We stop collecting impact fees in other areas of the county where we haven't had that horizon need. And when we have that need, they begin collecting those impact fees again. So there are some very strict time considerations that we pay very close attention to in terms of collecting, encumbering, and expending those dollars.
And with the blessing of our partners in the League of Cities, the interest that accrues on those impact fee accounts is used for affordable housing projects in every municipality all across Palm Beach County, right?
Yes, they are. And but I don't have the numbers in my head about interest that's been generated.
So while we might not be able to spend that money, at least while that money is in there while we wait to collect that and complete a project, that too has a benefit to municipalities in terms of being able to provide housing for our residents.
Thank you, Mayor McKinley. We have some other board comments. Mayor Brent. Mayor Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we all pretty much get it. I think our goal is to ensure that we identify the need versus location as well as dollars versus the projects. We all understand that. But I think the original idea of our chairman to allow Todd and Nick get together and hash out the differences. We know where we're going with this request. This is not going to, this reminds me of a commission meeting that Sussex versus Denver, Denver versus us. It's not what we're here for. We're here to work together. There's information that's on the database. There's information that perhaps we don't see. Allow them to get together so that, that they can put together a presentation for all of us, because we're going to go all day with this, because I can tell you right now, you know, there are some areas that impact fees affects in a different way. And I get it. Some of the bigger, the more wealthier cities, you know, they the public lanes, you know, so we talk about impact fees. So I would like for us to go to the original idea of our chairperson, to allow them to get together and work it out.
Thank you, Mayor. Councilmember Hubbard.
Thank you. I wanted to make sure that we consider what Todd was saying about the fact that we don't always live where we don't all live where the impact fees are being. We live globally, we move from place to place. The necessary and meaningful projects that are done throughout the county won't ever be paid for by the municipality where they actually exist. And I would like to see us go to that end where only projects will be done where, depending on how much impact fees you contribute to the cost. Because I think when we start taking, if we go to that route and we start taking that view of things, we won't ever, we will move from what we're really supposed to be doing, making sure that one can move from one end of the county to the other, not how much Boca paid, or not how much DeGlaze paid, or not how much Riviera Beach paid, but what is a meaningful and necessary project to make sure that transportation throughout the county flows fluently and provides transportation for projects, be it homes, be it schools, be it shopping centers. That's what I want to make sure that we keep in mind more so than anything outside of the fact how much did a particular municipality pay toward impact fees. Will they get that necessary road? Will they get that necessary transportation need that they might find themselves? So as we talk about this data that we want so, and this data that we want to see, and data is always necessary and it's good to have, but I want to make sure that we understand or that I feel that it's not necessarily what we should be focusing on, how much did the did that particular municipality pay.
Thank you, Commissioner Ryan.
Thank you. I don't want to lose sight of how we got to this point. We started out with exactly that, the equity conversation. Currently, the county's impact, transportation impact fees are very limited in terms of how they can be utilized, which creates problems internally to meet the needs of getting from one end to the county, one end of the city to the other. So what the intent of the conversation, or the intent of the request after George Webb was still there, was to start that conversation. And we're 2 years later and we're arguing over the information that we were given 2 years ago, which is on the web, and whether or not that's the appropriate, you know, request from the TPA. So I hope that the motion or the recommendation is that both Nick and Todd get together to talk about those bigger issues and how to bring them back for the conversation. 2 years ago, we got that information. 2 years ago, 2 years now, we're no closer to how do you pay for infrastructure upgrades in a municipality when they don't meet the transportation impact fee requirements for expenditure, and we pay enormous amounts of money into the system. There's no doubt that people in the city drive to other parts of the county, and we need to figure out how that equity works, whether it's, you know, increased bus, increased transit, increased roads. You know, we all benefit from that. So let's get to the point where we can have this conversation.
Okay, Mayor McKinley.
Just a question for Dan. 2 years ago, we had legally gave staff direction to write a letter to the Attorney General asking about the flexibility in using these funds. Did we ever do that? And if so, what's the status of that?
Thanks, Madam Chair, for, and Commissioner. The legal counsel for the TPA board at the time, the County Attorney's Office, said asking the Attorney General to opine on how a county charter should be interpreted by its county commission was not a useful question to pose to the Attorney General. I apologize for not bringing back that response to the full governing board, so we didn't pose the question, in part because our legal counsel at the time said it's not going to be answered.
I thought there was a question about the definition in statute, not just in the charter. Could you just revisit that and bring it
up? Yeah. I certainly can. If direction from this governing board is figure that out and ask a question that might be heard and useful, then I will work with our legal counsel as well as county staff to draft such a question.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Okay, I think this has been very useful. I think there was perhaps some misunderstanding at the county level of what the board was asking for, but given the amount of participation that we've had and the opinions expressed, I think Mr. Munnar, Mr. Ricks have a much better idea of what the board is requesting, and hopefully you and Mr. Urin can get together and come up with something that will be satisfactory. So thank you for being here. Okay. On to the next item, TPA Strategic Planning Committee. Every year we review what we've done and we make a plan for what we want to achieve as we come here. We're at that time of the year, so the board, the committee consists of the chair and the vice chair, and I need three volunteers. And I wish Commissioner Ryan. Anybody else? We have to grab someone. We go with four. Oh, okay, Mayor Pinto. Thank you. Thanks to all of you for volunteering. When will this be?
So, Mr. Chair, just a matter of clarification. So, pursuant to the TPA Governing Board bylaws, this would be a committee created for the special purpose of evaluating the agency's performance pursuant to its adopted strategic plan and recommending updates to that strategic plan. So this is an action item to asking the board to say, create this committee with this membership and this intended purpose.
And we do this every year.
And we do, yeah, this historical perspective, we do this annually. We adopted a strategic plan as an agency first in September of 2016, and then we did an update to that plan last summer. And just as a matter of sort of usefulness, demonstration of usefulness of this committee. The reason we're still talking about mobility fees versus road impact fees is because it is an item in our strategic plan whereby you have told me, keep this conversation moving forward. So this is the opportunity to say, yeah, let's keep this conversation moving forward on this item. This is not a requirement of the TPA Governing Board to have a discussion about mobility fees or impact fees. The point of the strategic plan is to say, in addition to what is mandated by federal law, what do we want this agency to take on as initiatives to add value to all of its members? So it's a very important document. It helps me understand how to direct staff resources, time, energy, and effort on things that matter to our shared membership.
Okay. So I need a motion to create this committee with the membership of the chair, vice chair, Commissioner Ryan, Commissioner Burdick, and Mayor Pinto.
So make
a motion. Motion by Mayor Moreno, second by Mayor Triola. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Chair, I'm sorry, a point of clarification. Is it Commissioner Berger or Commissioner Burdick?
Burdick.
Burdick. Call it Burdick. Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Okay. Next, we will have a presentation on our TIP. Andrew Mueller, which he did last one, will update us.
Number one.
So this should be a quick presentation, a little quick from last month. So this is for the District 19 through 23 transportation improvement program. And the fiscal year starts on July 1st, so all the state fiscal year. So just a couple of weeks, this will be our adopted, next coming year. And last meeting, we went through a little bit more project specifics, so at summary level. But this is a little bit different presentation than we used before. All this data is available to you in summary of the document. Just to restate our mission and how it plays into the transportation improvement programs, collaborate, plan, prioritize, and fund the transportation system. So with the transportation improvement program, this is a funding program for the next 5 years. And here's the timeline, just an update of where we're at and how far we've come for this version of the transportation improvement program for 19 to 23. It all starts with the PTA priority list that you all adopt. Email approved in July 2017. And then MAPTA evaluates the funding revenues for the upcoming 5 years and programs and projects in December, fall 2017. And then this event will also call the draft and work program in November. And then we create from the draft and work program the transportation improvement program. So all the projects within the work program are shown in the transportation improvement program. And so we are now here for our final adoption in June 2018. So this has been out to the public and also to our committees in the past 2 months for review. And once again, we'll be operating under the TIP July 1st. So just a refresher on the types of projects within the TIP. We categorize them by these sections you see here. So we have our TPA priority projects. Again, those are the ones approved on the TPA priority list by you all. We have our major TPA products in there, and then our competitive application programs and local initiatives and transportation alternatives. And then we also have the FDOT products in there, which could be the intermodal system capacity projects. And then other projects, we have other FDOT products as well as local projects. So those are those projects that we include in the TIP, which aren't required by federal law or state law. We'll put them in there to show a complete picture of our transportation products in the next 5 years. So when it comes to the county road work program or the third tax list, those are all products that are included in the TIP. And we also try to look into the local capital improvement programs for the transportation projects. And any ones that are relevant, we also try to include in the TIP. And the last category, maintenance operations. A big part of the budget, which you'll see, is dedicated to the operations and maintenance of our facilities. Just a quick summary of all the projects in the TIP. We have 488, totaling 2.5 billion over the next 5 years. And once again, 300 of those are FDOT work programs. So those are those federal and state funded projects that also have some local funding included. And then we have all those other projects that we add on top of that. From our local, so again, the surtax projects, and then fiber road program, and then capital improvement programs. We have updated maps in the executive summary for you all. So these are maps based on the implementation year, construction year, and for fiscal year 19 all the way to 23. So those are all available online and in the document. Today we have printed out for you the first year, so that's fiscal year 2019. If you didn't pronounce it, any of the other ones, you can just press those from us, but we wanted to save some paper. So you can see right here. And then if you look at the map, you'll see a label attached to all the projects. And with that label comes the project number, a very short description of the project. So if you're looking at the PDF and you figure out more about that project, you can always just search for that project number in the PDF document, and it'll go to the project page for you. And here's a summary of the four costs within the TIP, and it's broken down by federal, state, and local dollars, and the major sections that we have in there. And just a clarification, I wanted to state here that we are showing operations and maintenance of roadways up there, and other major maintenance, but not all the funds are captured within our TIP. So there are some state funds that are program at the district level, which includes our other neighboring counties such as Broward, which encompasses more towards operations of full facilities and other types of technology, which we really can't capture well at the county level. So that's why some of those funds aren't totally captured there. And then also there's tons of other local operations and maintenance that we don't have the great ability to capture. So truly that number would be much higher than what you're seeing there. But just some information to go through. You can see strategic intermodal system passive projects taking up a good share of that. And it's nice to show you here the breakdown of sort of who pays for what on our transportation network. So when it comes to those larger capacity projects and infrastructure projects, a lot of federal and state revenue towards those. But then when it gets into more of the operations and maintenance of our current facilities, we start to see that most of those are paid for with local or state dollars. One final point I want to mention on this list is one of our major priority categories, our major TPA projects, is pretty low compared to all these other sections. And I just wanted to clarify, and I mentioned last month as well, that figure is low right now. It's more of an ebb and flow of how much it's programmed, but overall we should pour around, on average, $200 million over 5 years. We had a lot of projects that have just come out of the TIP, or been coming out of the TIP, Southern Boulevard, State Route 7. So those are large construction costs that just were funded in fiscal year 18. And then we have a lot of projects on our priority list that are still big funding needs. So I'm just going to mention.
Can I get a point of clarification for a moment, Mr. Chairman?
Sure.
The State Road 7 project is still completely funded. It did not come out of any type of road plan.
That is correct. So it's, as it is today, it's still funded in fiscal year 18.
I was unclear as well. So Southern Boulevard is in or out?
That is currently under the fiscal year 18 construction. So that, yes, this is only comes to fiscal year 19 and 23.
And that doesn't include the interchange at 95, does it? It's just the expansion west.
Mr. Chair, yeah, just to clarify. The Southern Boulevard project that Andrew's referring to is the widening of Southern Boulevard from 4 lanes to 6 lanes in the central part of Palm Beach County, west of Forest Hill Boulevard to the entrance of the new Arden development. That project, around $50 million, is funded for construction in fiscal year 18. Because this TIP that you're being asked to adopt today is addressing fiscal years 19 through 23, that funding is not reflected in this document.
Go ahead. I'll add a few more sentences, actually. So I wanted to mention again some of these other major TPA products that are still, there's still construction needs on those. For example, you all saw the presentation last month about the US 1 corridor study. So there's a large amount of money there. We have the Tri-Rail extension to Jupiter. We have the US 1 extension to Atlantic Avenue widening. And then the upcoming Ridgeway Boulevard corridor improvement. So of all those, it looks like we have $635 million in needs. So you'll see that number jump for the major TPA projects later on in subsequent years of the TIP. And I believe that ends my presentation.
Thank you. Just want to remind Nick, for Mayor McKinley's benefit, could you go over what you said about State Road 7 prior to her
Sure. I just referenced the information in my director's report that there have been some events recently occurring, and the DOT has issued that press release highlighting that they have awarded a contract for construction, that they have been notified by Northern that their permit has been automatically terminated, the range permit needed for the project. But they are aware of an agreement between the City of West Palm Beach and Northern Improvement District requiring revocation of that permit, and that they are committed to moving forward with the project. And then as far as the funding conversation goes, just to further clarify, the answer that I gave for the State Road 8 is essentially identical to the answer for State Road 7. That State Road 7 project is fully funded. The $50 million needed to construct it, in addition to roughly the $7 million for construction, engineering, and inspection work, fully funded in fiscal year 18. That's why that, those construction hours are not shown in the TIF document on your agenda today.
Thank you, Nick. I actually have had conversations with the Florida Department of Transportation, as well as our business developments, and look forward to doing my own happy dance when the show.
Thank you.
Mayor Petrocco.
Yes, just want to make sure that the board is aware of the changes that were made on my council with regards to the Thomas Avenue corridor, and it would be no longer moving forward on that. And I know that last, when I looked at this, it was still in there, so I just want to make sure that it wasn't. I know it was a late add.
So, Mr. Chair, I think as far as Thomas Avenue goes, just briefly, the board has prioritized funding for a modification to Congress Avenue from the Boca city limits to the Atlantic Avenue intersections that the city of Delaware Beach was intended to be the constructor of on a county roadway. The city, as I understand it, at a recent commission meeting, chose to withdraw this request for funding. I've been notified verbally of that action by city staff, and I've requested that withdrawal formally in writing. I have not yet received that withdrawal request. So when that occurs, I will be asking this board in the update to its TPA priorities list to take that project off of the TPA funding priorities list. That will serve as direction to the DOT in the update for next year to remove the funding for that project. Because that action didn't occur in time for us to adopt, to formally receive that and reflect this in this document, the project is still being shown for funding in this five-year TIB. When we update this document in the coming year, it will be removed pursuant to the receipt of formal request.
Okay, request is on this coming, because I know I signed that, so it'll be
okay. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay, I've been informed that by statute we need a roll call vote on this item. So first I need a motion to adopt a resolution approving the draft fiscal year 2019-23 transportation improvement. Okay, would the clerk please call the roll?
Stephen Abrams?
Yes.
Marion Berger?
Yes.
Doug Gunther?
Yes.
Paulette Burdick?
Yes.
Anne Gerwig?
Yes.
Stephen Graham?
Yes.
Len Hubbard?
Yes.
Keith James?
Yes.
Jim Koretsky?
Yes.
Maria Moreno?
Yes.
Melissa McKinley?
Yes.
Shelley Petrolia?
Yes.
Fred Pinto?
Yes.
Andrea Orr?
Yes.
Paul Ryan?
Yes.
Scott Singer?
Yes.
Pam Triolo?
Yes.
Al Malachay?
Yes.
Steve Wilson?
Yes.
Passing in.
Okay, thank you. On to our information items. We're going to have Lois Bush from NEPTA give us a presentation on the strategic intermodal system.
Mr. Chairman, before you move on, I know I'm kind of way down here on the north end.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know how you feel in your district. I just back on the tip. I just wanted to compliment staff. There's a lot of really good projects in there, very well grounded. Particularly in Western communities. While like seeing the street lights and all of the other projects, I'm happy that this planning money was continued in here, the Hamlin sidewalk project. I'm really excited to see the US Transit Board work projects in here and hope that will extend that conversation beyond the road and then extend that into the rail conversation. I do have one project in here that if we can get some more information on the potential impacts it may have on industrial traffic coming in and out of the port, as well as possible effects on our Comtrans service. And that was project 16-1, the US 1 Broadway Avenue, where we're reducing the capacity from 4 lanes to 2 lanes. So if you could follow up maybe with the port and with Comtrans, just want to make sure we're not putting any adverse impacts on public transit in that part of the county and also our port.
And I noticed Mr. Ford's is joining us, so I should take a lesson back in. Okay, Ms. Bush.
Good morning, everyone. Again, I'm Lois Bush, the
Board of Department of Transportation, District 4. And I'm here today to share information on the district's projects in the strategic intermodal system, 2855 cost feasible. As background, I'll speak first to the planning and programming process for the strategic intermodal system. The SIS, established by the local legislature in 2003, is a statewide network of high priority, high volume transportation facilities between airports, highways, railroads, seaports, spaceports, and transit. This system enhances Florida's economic competitiveness by focusing state resources and transportation facilities most critical for statewide and interregional travel. As shown on the map, the SIS is composed of highway, railway, and waterway corridors, hubs such as major airports, seaports, and passenger and freight rail terminals, and highway, railway, and waterway connectors that connect hubs to corridors and one hub to another. The SIS planning and programming process, as depicted here, provides the framework for planning, programming, and implementing transportation projects. Florida Transportation Plan, which is the state's long-range transportation plan, and assist policy plan and provide policy guidance. Move to the right, you will see CAPCOT produces two long-range statewide SIS plans, assist multimodal unfunded needs plan and assist cost feasible plan. Eligible projects that assist needs plan and from other sources may advance into the assist cost feasible plan, assist second five-year plan, and ultimately into CAPCOT's adopted work program of transportation projects. We were here about a year ago to review District 4 projects of the SIS 2045 multimodal unfunded needs plan. The focus today is on the SIS 2045 cost feasible plan, which contains projects for SIS highway facilities and sets aside funding for the other roads on the SIS. This graphic shows how modal and MPO plans relate to the SIS needs plan and SIS cost feasible plan. It also shows how MPO transportation improvement programs and annual project priority lists relate to the SIS 10-year plan. FDOT's central office kicked off the updated SIS cost feasible plan for 2040 to 2045 last summer. Each FDOT district identified and prioritized potential SIS highway projects and considered projects remaining for the SIS 2040 cost plan, projects to advance the SIS 2045 plan, MPO priorities, and FDOT priorities. The district submitted their potential projects to FDOT's central office, which produced the draft SIS 2045 plan. As part of the process, District 4 coordinated with neighboring FDOT districts at the Turnpike regarding projects on SIS borders and crossing district lines. Also, last fall, District 4 met with Palm Beach TPA staff and staff of the other areas of the district to get their feedback on potential SIS highway projects for the plan. FDOT's adopted work program and SIS second five-year plan, I mentioned earlier, cover the first 10 years of what's called the SIS funding strategy. The SIS cost feasible plan covers the last 17 years of this strategy, which is fiscal year 2029, fiscal year 2045. For the SIS 2045 cost feasible plan. The SIS cost feasible plan focuses on designated SIS facilities and types of projects meeting current SIS funding eligibility criteria. Purposes of the update included evaluating SIS needs in light of forecasted future revenues, developing a base plan for cost feasible improvements for SIS highways, and ensuring consistency with current transportation goals and SIS policy plan objectives. And as you can mostly see here, seven Florida Transportation Plan goals address safety, security, mobility, economic competitiveness, environment, and energy conservation, having agile and resilient as well as quality transportation infrastructure, transportation choices, and quality placements. The three SIS objectives are interregional connectivity, intermodal connectivity, and economic development. Shows one side has a table of District 4 highway projects that address this cost feasible plan, along with a map showing the locations across the district. There are 27 highway projects on six corridors with one or more phases for CPD through construction funding. The corridors are I-595, I-95, US 27, State Road 80, State Road 710, and State Road 714 in Martin County at the FEC Railway Corridor, where this assist rail facility. The total for the four projects is $4.47 billion, $2017. This is out of a statewide total highway projects of around $30 billion. The $2017 will be inflated year expenditure dollars as part of finalizing the plan. The colors on the table signify time bands. Fiscal year 2029, fiscal year 2035 is green. Fiscal year 2036, fiscal year 2040 is yellow. And fiscal year 2041, fiscal year 2045 is blue. Focusing now in on Palm Beach County, for I-95, the draft plan includes addition of advantage lanes from Lipton Boulevard to Blue Air Boulevard, reflecting findings of I-95 advantage lanes master plan for Palm Beach County, a capacity project from South Indian Town Road to the Palm Beach Martin County line, which goes with other capacity projects on I-95 extending through Martin County to State Road 70 and St. Lucie County, carry over from the CIS 2040 Costes Bowl plan. Also, there's a project to relocate the southbound off-ramp loop at the Belvedere Road interchange. This project implements safety improvements beyond those completed in 2011 at the interchange. For State Road 80, the draft plan includes two capacity projects from the State Road 80 Corridor Action Plan. All phases from PD&E to construction for a project from Big Sports Drive, Royal Palm Boulevard, Palm Beach Boulevard, which adds two lanes to build eight lanes, and includes off-road, pedestrian, and bicycle facilities and transit service and improvements. The next one was the PD&E design and wide-way phases for capacity and full-time local improvements, and for Royal Palm Beach Boulevard to I-95. Potential solutions include an elevated roadway for through traffic and frontage roads for local access, parallel roadway network enhancements, off-road pedestrian and bicycle facilities, and transit service improvements. The unfunded construction phase has a cost estimate of $1.58 billion in 2017. This alternative was used for purposes of developing the CIS 2045 cost feasible plan because it was the most popular public workshop. It serves future travel demand, a reduced footprint, and it is the most expensive. The first phase of the project, as I indicated, is further study of PD&E study. Other projects in the draft plan for State Road 80 include addition of capacity at the State Road 80 State Road 7 interchange, needed beyond what has been and is being provided through interim projects, and also an ITS project, Intelligent Transportation Systems project, from US 27 to I-95 as part of the transportation systems management operation network on CIS facilities. The State Road 710 project is intersection of the TSM and O improvements from Blue Heron Boulevard to Congress Avenue identified through a PDE study. And the US 27 freight capacity and ITS projects in the plant extend from Chrome Avenue in Miami-Dade County through Broward and Palm Beach counties to Everett Lake Road in Kendrick County. The ITS project is also part of the TSM and MNO network on CIS facilities. The combined projects are intended to maximize the ability to freight on the corridor using the latest technology. In closing, I want to make the important point that the CIS 2045 will come up with the needs plan and the CIS 2045 cost control plan are important resources for the TPA to consider as it develops its 2045
long-range
transportation.
With that, I'd like to answer your question.
Thank you.
Chair
McKinley.
Thank you.
My job for them, and my remarks last time, I don't think I've ever wanted to come out and hug an official from it. But this US 27, including in your CIS plan with the freight, it's so exciting to see that in there, and I really appreciate everything that Clive is doing on that feasibility study. This is good news, and I know we brought this up at the state MPO meeting, and we seem to be asking MPOT to try to make this a priority project, and there was unanimous consent to moving forward with that staff direction. And the sooner we can do this and get something
books the sooner we can try to do some regional applications on some of the federal build grants. And particularly, the build grants provide 80 to 100% match funding for projects that are in rural communities, which a lot of this is in rural communities. So look forward to working with you on this, and thank you for advancing this project.
Commissioner Murray.
Thank you. And I guess this is a good day for you here, because looking at, I want to thank you, FS, looked at the Belvedere grant.
I want to thank them for going in and revisiting the Belvedere Road off ramp. We spoke about it often, thank you for bringing it up. And then, I'm looking at the draft. It looks like this is the improvements along State Road 80 continue all the way through.
One project that held the transportation system project which is part of the TSN Road Network Assistance Systems, extends from US 27 to I-95.
Okay.
That's the one line all the way. And then there are the highway capacity projects from Banks to Royal Palm Beach Boulevard and Royal Palm Beach to I-95.
And then from Royal Palm Beach to
I-95.
What are those projects?
The one from Banks Forest Drive, Royal Palm Beach, it adds two lanes to the bay lanes, off-road pedestrian and bicycle facilities and transit improvements. The State Road 80 Board of Action Plan identified three alternatives for the segment of State Road 80 from Royal Palm Beach to I-95.
And that's still in process.
The action plan has been completed, the report is out. We selected, we had to identify a project for purposes of building the plan, so we chose alternative three to do a project cost estimate. And that's what's in the cost feasible plan. The cost supporter plan acknowledges the interest in looking at State Road 80 as a potential transit corridor, but also the existing conditions and adopt future land uses that stand in the way of that at this time. That gets to this the final slide there, where you're during the long-range planning process, if you revisit what sort of transportation improvements are on the books now going forward. So we go to plan based on the corridor action plan, but that is the start of further study on those projects.
Okay, thank you. Did we send that letter on concerns about that portion of State Road 80 and why? If you don't have that, maybe you can bring that back and we can have further discussion about the action plan.
So I think where you're heading is concerns about the proposed double flyover at I-95 and State Road 80. Am I capturing that question?
That's capturing the question.
Okay. I don't remember being directed to write a letter to DOT regarding our concerns. I think when they presented their recommendation to this governing board, there were concerns expressed.
Phil, do you think we should take more formal action with regards to ours so that they understand?
I think that if this governing board wants them to build something other than what they have now proposed at that interchange, then a more formal action is necessary. But they're going to build what they presented to you short of you saying don't do it collectively.
And I would ask that we have you set sometime in the future to have that on the agenda. And since we have newer members, that they have the opportunity to have the additional information so that we can write a letter formalizing how county counties
are. If I can clarify, the project in this plan, State Road 80 projects from State Road 80 Corridor Action Plan do not include that interchange to west of IP.
Thank you.
Commissioner
Next item is our transition steering committee. We did meet on June 12th. We covered basically three items. First is the administrative services we're in. Essentially, we're involving loan consulting. We determined that the appropriate amount, staff determined, along with the consent of the committee, that the appropriate amount was $1.2 million. We've so far had interest from six municipalities to participate. If that winds up being the number we finally do participate, we will divide $1.2 million by six, and each municipality will provide $200,000. But what if we have four, it will be $300,000. If we have three, it will be $400,000. So the amount will be ratably distributed among the municipalities who care to participate. We also are receiving formal consent from municipalities in terms of the dues that we propose to assess upon them. Those are coming in, and we anticipate having all of them in hand within the next month or so, perhaps. The last thing was our new headquarters. We are negotiating with actively negotiating with maybe two or three, but we have five possibilities. Some are in the Clear Light area, but most are in the downtown core, which I believe is the preferred location for the staff. Is that right?
Yeah, and
hopefully we will have a lease signed by the September, October timeframe that we can bring back to the board for approval. Any questions on the steering?
Do we have any updates on the clearing as to whether that space is still available?
Right, so one of the sites that we were looking at in the Clear Lake area has been leased by the so it's taken off the table. But we are continuing to actually negotiate with the other properties that we're really looking at this area.
Okay.
Councilor
Brazzi.
Just wanted to report that on Tuesday night meeting, the town council unanimously approved the end dues and also the admin services funding.
Okay.
Does that make us the first one?
It actually does.
Great.
Thank you. Yeah, free gift card. Okay. Any other comments? Okay. Thank you. MPOAC Institute Review, Anne Marino is going to do that for us. And Nick will give us some information on the UTA board member.
Well, first, I just want to say thank you for the NPO for sending us to the NPOAC. It was eye-opening as a newer board member here. I think whether it's a primer for older members that have already been here for a while or an eye-opening experience for us new members, it's very worthwhile to do. And I did find that at the end of the day, though, it's really politics, I guess. I don't hate to say that, but it really boils down to being able to really state your case, state your cause. I do have questions about what's going to happen with tax impact fees when we have electric vehicles and autonomous vehicles, how that's going to change the scope of our funding for all these things, and also for our zoning planning. But I found that the glossary and the acronyms, which we had no idea. I think they said there were 6,000 acronyms that the MPOAC tosses around with. We haven't had a gentleman that knew most of them. So that's why when Nick and I were talking about updating the handbook, I said, Nick, you really do need to revisit the acronyms in the back because there are quite a few more that we had never heard of. So I'd like to see that we're expanding that a little bit. But I do suggest that we continue to send representatives because it really is important to know and to know the structure and to know time frames and how things happen, the history of how it occurred. And the notebook was this big, so I can't even give you an idea of what transpired. But I do know that right after that, we had a smaller presentation here
And how many members were able to attend that?
Six, seven.
And what were the main questions that came out of that? What were the main questions that came out of that one from the abbreviated version?
I'm not sure.
Mayor Petrolia, what did you find interesting when you were at that abbreviated MPOAC Academy?
It was great. I mean, I really enjoyed it, and I think that Mayor Singer was there too, so that would be the question to ask him.
Two things. One is we did update the MPO FTPA governing board member handbook to reflect the more thorough list of acronyms and glossary of terms that were provided through the MPOAC Institute. That's posted on our agency website at palmbeachtpa.org/board. Secondly, the full video recording of that shorter version of the MPOAC workshop that was conducted in downtown West Palm Beach is also posted on our agency website at palmbeachtpa.org/board. So if you are ever interested in seeing that, I know several of you expressed an interest in attending that workshop, but schedule-wise it wasn't compatible. If you want to spend a little bit of time hearing that sort of historical perspective on the role of an MPO, as well as your authority as a board member, it is posted on our website. We're happy to provide that as a resource.
I would encourage everyone to do that.
It was a great overview, starting from way back all the way to today, and it was perfect to really those of us who are into this board to really understand what we're doing and why. I mean, that's the best way I can sum it up.
One thing that is really important, though, is as a board, we have a bigger voice, and we need to make sure that we use that voice collectively, because I know what's important to Steve Wilson, Alphabet Blade, and to Melissa may not seem as important to us up in the gardens, but if we have a unified voice and we say this is something that's important for everyone, not just for Bell Blade, that really goes a long way. That's when I said, when I started off by saying this is political, we really do need to have a loud voice, because there are certain times where sometimes the statistics may not bear out what you need, and there really has to be an emotional attachment to it. Whereas, I mean, we don't want emotion in politics, but perfect example is, well, a perfect example for Palm Beach Gardens right now is the UI Highway expansion that's going to impact several of our communities, and a sound study was done that shows it doesn't impact the communities, but it really does. So when I say it's going to be political, in the sense of we're going to have to sit down and say, okay, you did a noise study. It did not really cover all the information that you should have. We appreciate your work. I know how was at our last council meeting and saw a great deal of our constituents in the audience very actively participating, saying we want more information. So as a group, we really do have a voice and we need to use it. So if I can say, if I took anything away from that, we do need to have a unified voice when we go forward.
Okay, thank you. Kim, do you want to go over?
No, like I said, what I
don't. Okay. All right. Any questions, comments on that? Okay. I know we have Clinton Forbes here from Monterey. Any other partner agencies who care to address the board? One, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the TPA board. We'd just like to just take a few minutes to give you update on our Route Performance Maximization Project, RPM. But I'd like to begin by thanking Nick for dutifully, his team, for dutifully including as a part of the agenda different modal opportunities to get to the meeting, including transit, biking, car. But if we're going to have a meeting at this facility, you have to include one of these. All right, so The route performance maximization project, we have been at this for several months, and we have made a lot of progress. Again, just to remind you, the route performance maximization project is really essentially all in the name. It's about maximizing our existing resources to provide better service to this community, better transit service to this community for our existing riders and to attract new riders. We have several goals for the RPM that we have checked off. I'm not going to go through all of them, but just a few. The first goal was actually set by County Administrator Baker and Todd Van Lannan, Assistant County Administrator, and the Board of County Commissioners, and that was work within your existing resources. We don't have any more money. And I'm glad they gave us that goal, because I always thought that there was a lot of opportunity when I joined the Commonwealth, opportunity for improvement. And folks, we found a lot of opportunity. A lot of what we call inefficiency, a lot of unproductive routes. I'm not going to give you that number yet, but there are several thousand dollars of inefficiencies that we are now maximizing into our system, reinvesting into our system to make the system more direct, more frequent, more reliable. And so that's what the RPM is about. And again, the first goal is to work within your existing resources. The second is really minimize the impact to our existing customers. 80% of our ridership, the people that use Palmtrain every day, they don't have another alternative. They don't have a car. And so as we kind of play this puzzle game with where we shift the service to make it, we ensured that there were options for our existing customers. We checked off on that. One of the other goals is more direct service. You know, transit, mass transit service is about transporting a lot of folks at one time. And it is not an Uber. It is not a Lyft. And so many of our routes have acted as that. Big buses in neighborhoods, making turns in neighborhoods picking up one and two people. We have straightened our system, made it more linear, made it more direct, and saved time and money. And so what happens to that person that we don't turn down in the neighborhood to pick up that one person? We ensure that they are able to get a little exercise and just walk a little bit more. That's an unintended goal, but we're going to make our community more healthy. All right, so, but they still have access to transit. They still have access to transit. And they'll appreciate when they get on the bus because they'll get to their destination quicker because we are not turning down these spaghetti, you know, neighborhoods. And I think more importantly, we checked off on this goal. It helps us continue to fulfill our mission at Palmtrain, which is to provide access to opportunity for everyone, safely, efficiently, and courteously. Access to opportunity. With this plan, we have more access to jobs. With this plan, we have more access to education. With this plan, we have more access to medical facilities. And so we can't, the plan is actually, the draft is online, we are going to work with NIT to provide you with the board presentation. But the schedule is essentially meeting in a public hearing setting with the Palmtrain Service Board on next week, June 28th. We invite each of you to participate in that meeting. Mayor Grant is a new board member on PTSB, so thank you and welcome you. And then we will meet in a workshop setting that is open to the public on July 24th. How is that, July 24th? At the Government Center in the Chambers, where we'll brief the board on the RPM. And the final public hearing will be on August 14th. With the Board of County Commissioners at their regularly scheduled meeting. And so that's essentially the path and the trajectory we're on to get this implemented. And I'm gonna hand off to Steve just to give you just a glimpse of some of the changes in the system, not the entire network, because we have touched all 34 routes. All 34 routes will have some change. 19 of the 34 routes will have something to change. And so Steve will talk a little bit about that. More importantly, we wanted this to be a community conversation. We wanted to have a robust conversation with this community because while the Board of County Commissioners own and operate Palmtrain, it really is told by all of us who live in this community. If we pay taxes and we purchase gas, we own property. And so we need to make sure that the owners have a say in how this service looks. And so we have had that robust conversation, and we continue to have it with the community. We call it wave one. We, you know, went to bus stops and bus hubs to talk to the customers, collect surveys. We've had surveys online. We have messages playing in our buses, asking folks to come to meetings. Wave two included summits, and I'd like to thank the mayors around this table, elected officials that attended some of those summits. And we wanted to make sure that we covered the geography of the county. We had a summit in the Western community at Bell Lake, which was actually the most attended and most active RPM summit that we had. We had a summit at West Palm Beach, a summit in Riviera Beach, and a summit in a great conversation we had with the community. We will continue. The third wave of public outreach really is an education series, and that is after approval by the board, we now have the monumental task of educating our riders about the new system. And we are going to hold our customers' hand through this process because they will still have access to the route that they've taken for over 20 years or 15 or however long they've been riding. Many has changed. And so we're not going to have them just exclusively rely on a printed schedule or try to go to our website. We are going to have an awesome ground game. We're looking at bringing back retired bus operators to be posted out in the system to help guide our customers through this change. And so with that, I'd just like to hand off really briefly to Steve Anderson, who's our project manager, been doing a great job with the RPM, just to kind of give you a glimpse of some of the changes in the system.
Thank you, Clinton. It's an exciting time for Home Train. Anytime that you can add 15-20% more service without costing another dime, it's an exciting day for us, the county. I'm just going to give you all a little teaser. We're adding more one-seat rides. This is a transit term to a direct service. We're adding downtown service from Boynton Beach to the Tri-Rail at Boynton Beach and Boca. We're doing this as well at Riviera Beach. We're extending routes that service that community for better job access. But really, it just boils down to a couple of items. Later service, nights and weekends. Our customers want a new cell phone. They want nights and weekends. And we haven't provided it in 22 years. And so we'll be taking major steps in that direction. It will touch each and every one of your communities. Out in the Western community, you're going to have a smaller bus system to complement the big buses that can go in those hard-to-reach areas. Just Monday night, we're at the Northwest Southwest Alliance meeting with that group, communicating some of that, and we were in Boynton Beach two nights ago. So we're going to continue pound pavement and touch your community, both doing outreach and network changes, which are all online at Palmtran-RPM. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments? Mr. Ford,
comment, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
Yes, Mayor Watson. I will tell you, in the Glades community, Mr. Ford and myself, we did an outstanding job. The tension in our community at the time when they heard about the rumors that there was going to be services cut off and the rocks were taken away, folks were really angry about that. I mean, we had a full capacity of folks there. But after they finished with their presentation, I'm telling you, they did all. So I've been in government for like 20 years, and I've never seen you guys confuse a situation like you did, so thank you so much.
Thank you, Mayor Wilson. Any other comments? Mr. Forbes, Dave reminded me that we do have water taxi service here in Palmy County, Peanut Island. And in that regard, I wanted to make the board aware of it, and you might be aware of this, but the county is working with the port to renovate the Kennedy bunker on Peanut Island. And that has been in private hands. It's kind of in disrepair. And there needs to be quite a bit of work done before it becomes a viable tourist attraction again. But we're in the process of doing that. So eventually that will become, I think, another tourist destination here. And quite interesting historical significance to that moment. So thank you. Okay, correspondence.
Mr. Chair, we've already talked through item number one. And item number two, I think Mayor Marino alluded to earlier in the meeting, I wanted to provide both the letter that was sent following our meeting as well as the response letter we got Secretary Ryder. So I guess that's provided as information for the government.
Okay. Thank you. Question?
Administrator.
Again, these are just provided for information for the board. We don't feel free to present that, but if there are any questions, we'd be happy to answer them. Otherwise, they're just there for your benefit.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments from the board? Okay, we're adjourned.